time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Did anything happen over the weekend? Like, at all?
I love how we got off the air and
the world burned.
All of the things happened. All of them. And I'm relieved, Vanessa, that all of the things happened.
Within like a 12-hour period of time.
Yeah.
Less than that.
I'm relieved in that they happened. So now we don't have to say, what's going to happen next?
Right.
But
it was a long time coming. A long time coming, really, for both situations with both Deshaun Watson and Carlos Correa. And we kind of suspected that there would be a conclusion for both within the coming days. But for them both to happen, essentially, I mean, technically Carlos Correa was after midnight. But again, in a 10, 11-hour window, was crazy. Where were you when you got the news about Deshaun?
So, I was filling in on the Killer Bees for Jeremy Branham, and congrats to the Cougs on to the Sweet 16.
Go Cougs.
Wearing a UH shirt right now. We got Cam behind the glass wearing a UH jacket, giving us the Shasta.
Woo!
We're pumped about UH.
It
was the very end of the show, and Jay Gasman has this look on his face because we were at Drift, and it was this serious look. And we're like, what the hell happened? Oh, the Deshaun Watson trade must have gone down. So we sit down, and I'm thinking, we're going to hear that he got traded to the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
And Jake comes on the air and says he has been traded to the Cleveland Browns. And Joel and I looked at each other like, what? Wait, what? We thought they were out. Why are the Browns back in on this? It seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that it was going to be Atlanta and maybe New Orleans. So we got about 5 minutes to react to the whole thing. And I'll just say, from a Texans perspective, a local perspective, considering how difficult it was going to be to move a guy with a no-trade clause who, as far as being a pariah goes, is probably number one in the NFL, at least right here today on March 21st of 2022, that they were able to get this kind of a haul back. I will give Nick Caserio a ton of credit. I'll give Cal McNair a ton of credit. I'm glad it's resolved itself where the Texans get 3 first-round picks, and we'll see if they're able to actually make things happen with those 3 first-round picks that they got.
Yeah, we had heard a couple of different things throughout the time that Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded. And one of those things was, okay, how many picks are they going to get? What's the actual number? Different reporters said different things. But this was the final. I was surprised that there were no players involved.
Did you want players involved?
I'm not saying I wanted. I just was I was surprised that there were no Browns players as a part of
that
deal.
That's at least what had been said online. Hey, there you want some actual players involved in the trade too. But the more I thought about it, Vanessa, as far as that, if you're going to bring in some players from the Cleveland Browns now, how many of those players that would help you now are going to help you a couple of years down the road? Where the Browns are right now, I don't think they had a lot of players that you are going to bring in where you see, okay, this guy has upside and he is on an affordable contract. And in 2 years or so, when this team theoretically is back on track, are those guys still going to be around? So I'd rather just get 3 first-round picks, a couple extra picks along the way, too.
We're certainly going to talk throughout the morning, and especially in the next segment, about that haul that Nick Caserio got back. And hear kind of what he had to say about it. As far as what happens next, there were a lot of questions about, okay, how are the Browns going to handle if Deshaun Watson is suspended? And financially, they certainly secured that.
That's the reason this whole trade went down, Vanessa. I mean, they can talk all they want, Deshaun Watson's camp, about how the Browns give him the best chance to win. But I doubt he wanted to go to Cleveland until Cleveland just said, screw it. We're going to pay you as much as we possibly can.
And it's all guaranteed.
$230
million guaranteed. It is the most guaranteed money in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers had that title for about 5 days.
By $80 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a guy that still has 22 civil lawsuits against him that will likely be suspended. And you mentioned the contract, Vanessa. Oh, what a sneaky way to make it so that Watson is going to get every single dime that he can, because the contract is structured for him to only make $1 million in base salary this coming year. It's shameful. It's the Browns. I mean, are we that surprised? The Browns are a bit of a mess of an organization. It's not exactly like Jimmy Haslam, the man who runs things there, is the most morally fibrous character, if you will. So I look at this. I'm glad that the Texans were able to find a suitor. You're right. What is Cleveland going to do? How does Cleveland deal with the backlash? Or do they even care?
That's really important that you bring that up. I actually don't think they care. And here's the thing. Regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson, any of this, you think he's guilty, innocent, somewhere in between. When you have a team that didn't even reach out to any of the women or Tony Busby, which they didn't, according to Tony Busby, their gauge for Deshaun Watson's character, do you want to know who they asked? Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So
I'm terrible, guys.
Right.
I'm Satan. You know, like, and he's not going to say that.
Right. So they say that they did this investigation. They say they really looked into it. I personally do not buy that. As far as what the NFL will do with discipline, NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy did say this in a statement. Quote, any transaction would have no effect on the NFL's ongoing and comprehensive investigation of the serious allegations against Deshaun Watson, nor would it affect his status under the collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. If the league's investigation determines that Watson violated the personal conduct policy, discipline may be imposed pursuant to the policy and the CBA, which is a lot of words and his way of saying he could still be disciplined.
Right. How will the NFL do it? How serious of an investigation will the NFL do?
How many games?
I mean, it's not Tom Brady deflating football, so I'm not sure that they're going to spend the necessary money to actually look into it in the same way that they did for that. They should. They won't, because they want this to be behind them, and they will spin their random wheel of punishments that they do. They'll come up with some arbitrary number for a suspension. I would bet it would be 6 or 7 games, which does help the Texans out with the first-round pick that they will get from Cleveland for 2023. You would assume that, especially now that the Browns have traded away Case Keenum to the Buffalo Bills and that Baker Mayfield wants out, he wants to go to Indianapolis. We'll see if that actually happens, that that would help out the Texans in the draft pick and all that stuff going forward. But yeah, I don't know. I don't expect there to be a massive investigation done further than the same kind of investigation, Vanessa, that the Browns and all these other teams did. And look, we shouldn't be surprised that none of these teams really wanted to know.
Zero surprise.
What happened.
I had zero hope that this would actually be a full investigation from any team. And I'm not saying like, oh, you should feel dumb if you're disappointed. No, but I had no faith that anybody would actually take time. And again, what matters to me is the truth. Whether that's a gray area, whether that's some of the women are lying, who knows? None of us were in that room. If you were, call in. I'd love to hear your perspective. But I had no faith that there was going to be an actual investigation, because we've seen how the NFL handles these situations. They had Ray Rice knocking out his wife on camera, and they did not care.
I'll say this, though.
For a while. And then they were publicly pressured into caring.
He never got another job again. And as far as Ray Rice goes, that might be the one where the NFL actually got it right. Even if Ray Rice maybe was a...
I think if you're a woman and you see the initial response and how long they took, it's like, yeah.
Again,
were publicly pressured into it.
No doubt. Yes, you're right. It's, hey, here's a dinosaur sticker. Here's a gold star. Like,
right.
It's like you're awarding a preschooler for like not pooping his pants in class. Yeah, I don't want to get too cynical or skeptical, but I'm just not. I'm not surprised at all. The thing that, in fact, pissed me off the most, Vanessa, on Friday was just the absolute, let's be honest, ball washing that the NFL media did of David Mulugeta of the Browns. This is an unprecedented deal. And the way that Adam Schefter had been covering it in the weeks leading up to the draft, retweeting David Mulugeta, like, keep that same energy, as if they are in the clear with 22 civil suits still ongoing. I think Albert Breer had said that the Browns did their homework. My ass, they did their homework. They didn't do bleep. And you see this stupid post that they put up. We are acutely aware and empathetic to high personal sentiments expressed about this decision. Our team's comprehensive evaluation process was of utmost importance due to the sensitive nature of his situation and the complex factor involved. We're going to throw a bunch of big words out to say that we care. You don't. You should have put out a statement saying, yes, he bad, but he also good quarterback. Boom. Yeah. That's your statement, because that's what you did. And look, we'll see what happens. And honestly, what pisses me off the most, Vanessa, is that 5 years from now, no one's going to remember any of this. That's just the way that we are. We're all pieces of you-know-what. We have short memories. We have ADD. We will forget this 5 years from now. We forgot what Kobe Bryant allegedly did. We forgot what Ben Roethlisberger allegedly did. We move on from stuff like this. And if Deshaun Watson wins, everyone will just be quiet forever.
Winning cures all,
yep.
For sure.
So I hope he loses, all. And it'll help the Texans out in the meantime.
That would get the Texans a higher pick.
Yep.
Meanwhile, somebody else exited Houston. That was, of course, Carlos Correa. We're going to break that down, and then you're also going to hear from Nick Caserio and his press conference and his non-answers. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, so Deshaun Watson, not the only high-profile exit from Houston this week. Carlos Correa, of course, a free agent, and was flirting, it sounded like, with the idea of coming back to the Astros. That was all of the national reports. That's mm-hmm. what everybody said. But he's going to Minneapolis. And it is not the 10-year massive deal that he wanted. It's a lot of money. He has an opt-out. But Correa to the Twins.
3 years, $105.3 million with opt-outs after the first two seasons. So, Vanessa, there's a very good chance that he's going to be a free agent after this coming year. And we'll see if Minnesota actually can be a really good baseball team with him aboard. This is the kind of short-term move that you do when you're a mid-market team, small market team, and you say, screw it, let's just see what happens here. But you see that number and you're like, how the hell didn't the Astros match it? I'm looking for a theory that actually makes sense, and I think the only person that had one is someone who is very connected. That would be John Granato of the very show that's right in front of us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He tweeted this out. The Astros ghosted Carlos Correa this week. James Click, general manager of the team, said he would get back to them. He never did. Jim Crane did not respond at all to Scott Boras' texts. So I have a theory here.
Okay.
My theory is that Jim Crane has let things get personal with Scott Boras. And you know what? There are lots of owners across baseball and general managers across baseball that...
What do you mean by get personal?
...would feel that way. Well, think about it. You have Garrett Cole putting on the Scott Boras hat in his last moment as a Houston Astro.
Hashtag never forget.
Right. And you also have just this contentious negotiation between the owners and the players. The Astros were one of four teams to vote against the deal that was just struck by baseball. So, look, I'm operating under the assumption that what John tweeted is right. And I believe John, because I think John knows just about
He's
everybody in town.
And he doesn't tweet things unless he knows it for sure.
Exactly.
Got to get him that check mark. But
we do need to get him that check mark. He probably doesn't want the check mark knowing him. Whatever the case, I saw that. And I thought, yeah, I could easily see Jim Crane ghosting Scott Boras as a result of it. And fine, do you. But this is stupid for now if that's the case. I mean, yeah, that's your pride getting in the way of what's best for your team. The Astros could have done that. 3 year with opt-outs in the first two seasons. Do you think Carlos Correa would not have wanted to come back to the Astros for that number or slightly higher than that number? The only thing that I can get as a reason, Vanessa, as to why this didn't happen is because Jim Crane and Scott Boras got too pissed off at each other.
And I don't mean to kind of hashtag both sides it, but mm-hmm. I will say, in a way, if you're Jim Crane and you're James Click, aren't you tired of the whole, maybe I'll come back, maybe I won't, like maybe I want to be here. Maybe I don't. Now, if you're Scott Boras, you're like, okay, well, then make us an offer and we'll get it done right now. So it seems like, look, negotiations are negotiations in sports and just in life in general. But I do see where they want to set their roster, make a plan. They clearly like Jeremy Pena. I will say this, though. We talked about this before the show. Just like you don't want a bad relationship with David Mulugeta if you're in the NFL, you do not want a bad relationship with Scott Boras if you're in MLB.
Right. Going forward, how do you... I mean, if you want to get into bidding wars in the near future, guess what? Scott Boras is probably going to have his hands on the majority of any player that you would maybe think about talking to. Now, maybe you just don't deal with Scott Boras in the future, but I don't see how that's a smart way to operate a baseball team. You got to swallow your pride sometimes. Yeah, Scott Boras is annoying. Yeah, Scott Boras is probably going to push for things that you don't want to do as an owner. And he was clearly spearheading, I think, a lot of what the Players Association was asking for in those negotiations. But you got to get over it. And this is a failure on the Astros' part. If we are to believe what John tweeted, and I do believe what John tweeted, that the Astros just stopped talking to Scott Boras and Carlos Correa at the very end, to me, it feels like pride got in the way because I can't think of anything else. Money clearly didn't get in the way. That was an easy-to-match contract.
Yeah, they have the money. Jim Crane had said on Sunday that the Astros were, quote-unquote, in discussions with Carlos Correa's camp. If what John is saying is true, that was a lie.
Yeah.
That was not accurate. But, you know, season tickets are on sale. You have to make sure that fans are not too upset with you.
I get it, but I mean, aren't they going to be upset? They can tell us all they want about Jeremy Pena. Sorry,
right.
He's not Carlos Correa. He will never be Carlos Correa. No offense to Jeremy Pena, unless he ends up winning a World Series for this team. And on top of that, standing up for this team when they were in the midst of controversy that made it seem like everything that they had accomplished and that we had watched together and experienced in the wake of Hurricane Harvey was a load of crap. I like that he stood up for it because I didn't want to be told that what I saw didn't matter or that I'm that I root for a bunch of frauds or something like that. And he stood up for them and he delivered when it mattered most after the fact too. So yeah, poor Jeremy Pena. I mean, it's a tough spot to be in if you're him.
Yeah, I mean, George Springer, that he walks away. Carlos Correa now walking away. So I think a lot of people are questioning the Astros in those regards and how they handle these players that, you know, become free agents. And it's been a rough go of Houston sports this weekend.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you lost two of your greatest athletes in
and
city history.
Like, we can recap the 1.5, 2 years before this that includes DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. But you all already know all of that.
So you're just trying to depress us, huh?
You know, Garrett Cole was the one that I thought would hurt, and now he's just not good because he can't use that sticky stuff. So
Allegedly. We don't know that for sure, but it does seem like that's probably a part of it.
We do want to hear from you. We want to hear what you guys have to say.
713-780-3776. You got it this time.
I can't believe it.
You could also call in at that very number. We do have someone waiting on the line. Do you want to do it? Let's pop our phone call, Cherry. Let's bring in Juan. Juan, what's going on, bro?
Hey guys, great job. I love your show.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, I was a sexual assault prevention response person in the military for about 15 years. And what you need to know is moving target, because only 10% of people report because they don't know the attacker. So for a lot of shame goes into not wanting to report. That 4% are false accusations, but 96 are true accusations. So out of 22, that'd be one person in 22. And so that's the lens that you would see, you know, these claims with Deshaun Watson. And like John said this morning, where there's smoke, there's fire, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is that, you know, Antonio Brown, Jameis Winston, and Ben Roethlisberger were also had rape accusations, and the NFL did nothing about it. So it's status quo.
Juan, that is, first of all, thank you for sharing your experience, and we appreciate you calling in.
Also, thank you for your service.
Yeah,
on top of that,
absolutely.
To where he was going with that, yeah, how deep does the rabbit hole go
right.
when it comes to this? Because clearly this guy did not care about the fact that he was hiring or, you know, working with all these different masseuses. And, you know, also listening to John and Lance this morning, too, I mean, they brought up another good point. Like, there are two people that just wanted criminal charges. That's it. They didn't want to get involved in this civil side of things.
Yeah, because there were 10 criminal and 8 of them were also involved in civil, but 2 were criminal only.
Right. And I mean, like, look, this is... When I was doing my little Twitch show on Friday, if you read the specifics of the Jenny Prentice report from Sports Illustrated, those specifics are so explicit, vivid, gross, disgusting, and we're supposed to not think that any of those explicit details are accurate? Because they, when you read them, and you read about some of the things that he was doing on that table allegedly, it does look so vivid, and it's hard to imagine someone just making it up, you know, because it's so weird. I've never heard or thought of somebody that would ever operate like this, where he's thrusting his hips up on the massage table and stuff like that, let alone trying to force people to, you know, do things, if you will. And yet, we're just going to move on. That's how it always goes. And I'm just glad he's gone, really. Like, I don't even think, Vanessa, that there would have been a return package that I would have been that upset about. Just that they were able to get him out of town, the Texans, let alone get 3 first-round picks with other picks as well. I'm just glad it's done so that we don't have to even really look or think about this anymore. But that's a shame, too, because I guess I'm part of the problem. I'm one of those people that wants to just move on from this crap and forget about it.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated because there's the football side of it with all things regarding Deshaun Watson, of course, and then there's the human element side of it of, okay, how these young women feel and how they felt they were treated. Will patterns repeat? And again, we certainly thank Juan for his call and insights into that. So a lot of mixed feelings. And if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, I know I saw a lot of people on Cleveland that are Cleveland Browns fans. I used to work in Cincinnati, so I know a lot of folks in Ohio and just the Midwest in general. And there were definitely some split reactions on this. Some people were like, hey, we're getting an amazing quarterback. This is the quarterback our franchise has waited for. And some people were like, yeah, I'm out.
And I wonder if they will stay out. I really do. I think when you look at this team and their history and how much that city cares about the Browns, I mean, that's, I think, as far as a city's relationship with a football team goes, it's about as close as it gets considering that this is a team that has, since the 1950s, sucked. They've been awful. They had a couple of nice years in the 1980s, and I think John Elway stole their soul in those seasons, and you have Ernest Biner fumbling at the one-yard line, things like that. But this is a team that has historically just had almost zero fortune. And the team gets moved to Baltimore on top of all of that. You know, so, I mean, then all of a sudden they get this guy. People are going to tell themselves things that they probably will feel a little bit guilty about. And at the same time, too, if he wins, a lot of people will forget about it. You're already seeing the national media turn the page. I mean, you have Adam Schefter acting the way that he did after those civil investigations.
He had to clarify a couple tweets.
Right. After no indictment came down, he was like, well, the Deshaun Watson and David Mulugeta, who is brilliant, by the way, they knew what was happening all along. And also, too, I mean, you got it from Albert Breer, who was supporting what the Browns did, like the homework that they did. The Browns just talked to Deshaun Watson. They're already setting the table for this is the great redemption arc for Deshaun Watson on the football field. And I hate it because it's as if some of these people, do they not have women friends that they respect?
Yeah.
Because that's the part of it with me. Like, look, to me, this is definitely a lot different than for somebody else. And I'm sure, like, for you, Vanessa, seeing stories like this,
mm-hmm.
for me, I'm just a guy. I'm reading these things. I don't understand that perspective, but I know that for a lot of people, when there are allegations like this put out, very often, historically, people will doubt because of the 1% to 2% of people that make up a story. They'll bring up things like the Duke lacrosse scandal and things like that. And they'll act as if, well, because of that, a lot of these victims, maybe they're full of it. And that's just bogus. And I know that there are so many colleagues of mine in this industry that are so disgusted by it. I feel like if I'm their friend, that I also should be in the same department on that. And it's hard not to be when you read that report.
Absolutely. Very complicated, a very sad situation, and we'll definitely see what happens now that he's in Cleveland. And look, you know, he's not going to be as big of a topic in Houston, but around the entire NFL. And you do see women from NFL Network, like Cynthia Freeland and Kay Adams, that talk about this in that manner of which you speak. And you have to think those conversations behind the scenes with their male colleagues have probably gotten interesting. All right, well, listen up. If you own your home, grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for home insurance. I know you're paying too much, but you probably don't shop because it's such a hassle, but it doesn't have to be thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and it gives you a full quote in only 15 seconds. Using nothing but a single text message, you're probably going to save a lot of money. So take your phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address, send that back, and you're going to get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been, and you're only a text away from big savings. So text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Monday after a very, very busy week in Houston sports. That included Deshaun Watson being traded, Carlos Correa leaving, and of course we've been talking about it all day. Nick Caserio did have a media session. Mm-hmm. I was at that. It was at NRG at the top floor. It's kind of funny because you could hear like the rodeo music.
Oh, yeah. God, that must have been a nightmare getting in.
It was a nightmare getting in.
I went yesterday for the last day just to go to the wine garden while before my friends went to go see the George Strait concert. May or may not have taken down a bottle of Prosecco by myself. Classic.
A whole bottle by yourself.
Yeah, classic. No big deal. I can't even imagine walking around that area, Vanessa, trying to do your job. Oh, my God. Just walking through the carnival. I wanted to trample so many people. I hate walking through crowds. I hate slow walkers. And I especially hate like small slow walkers because I'm nervous that I'm going to accidentally like squash them.
I hate slow walkers too.
Yeah. Anyway, so you were at the press conference.
I was. All right. So we know the haul by now. 2024 fifth round pick to the Browns and Deshaun Watson, of course, for a 2022 first round pick, 2023 first round, 2024 first round, third round and fourth round. First of all, what do you think of the haul that Nick Caserio got back for quarterback Deshaun Watson?
It's a very good haul. It's not a great haul, but it's a very good haul. As far as what you could have gotten, I mean, Atlanta had more. As far as the teams that were in the sweepstakes with you, Carolina had the best pick this year and would probably have the best picks in the near future, too. But what happened was you, as an organization, made the right call. You said, hey, to get to talk to Deshaun Watson, you have to give us a trade proposal that we're cool with. So we'll start there, and then you get to talk to Deshaun, and Deshaun will determine whether or not he'll waive the no-trade clause to go there. And I'm guessing that there was enough footsie being done between the Texans and Watson to a point where Watson would be agreeable, or relatively agreeable. Even if there was a list of teams that maybe, you know, I'm assuming there are some teams that tried to get into the sweepstakes that, first off, weren't offering enough. But there are also probably some, too, that Watson was like, no. So he gave you those four. But you made sure that there wasn't going to be any last second pressing the eject button by Deshaun Watson not wanting to waive the no-trade clause for one of those four teams. I think they did a really good job in this.
I do, too. I think that, like I said, I was kind of surprised that there were no players involved. But, look, the Texans, in some ways, actually, not the Texans, Nick Caserio. In some ways, his hands were tied, right? Because Deshaun had the final say about where he went. Mm-hmm. And even though he had to approve every team's package, so no doubt he was probably fine with this one, you got to give Nick Caserio credit for staying cool under pressure.
Yeah.
Because at one point, it is absolutely either Falcons or New Orleans. So Nick Caserio's talking to Cal McNair. They're communicating. All of that. And then at the 11th hour, Deshaun Watson just switches up. And from Nick Caserio's perspective, not that he's probably mad about it, but we know what was happening, right? We know David Mulugeta was contacting and talking to Andrew Berry, GM of the Browns, and they were building this deal. And then all of a sudden, back to Nick Caserio, you know, David Mulugeta goes, by the way, Deshaun changed his mind. Okay. So not that it was some big inconvenience, but I do give Nick Caserio credit where credit's due. His hands were tied on a lot of this. He's not the one that gave Deshaun the no-trade clause.
Right. He came into this situation, and this was the first thing on the docket. And look, if you're hiring him legitimately just to fix this, I mean, that's a success. Now, Yeah, he has to build this roster up. He has to be good with these two first-round picks that the Texans now have, 3 and 13, and the first-round picks that they'll have in the near future. He has to hit on, I would say, at least three of those picks, finding a Pro Bowl-caliber player that's going to be a part of your organization for, at the very least, the next 5 years, if not longer. You got to hit on at least half of those first. And that's going to be hard to do. That doesn't generally happen. You know, sometimes you'll go like 25%, 10% in terms of it. The draft is a crapshoot, and I won't hold that too much against Caserio, but that is the job now that he has to do with these first-round picks. But they did a good job there. And Vanessa, something else I liked, the statements that the Texans put out, I'm not going to read both of them, but from both general manager Nick Caserio and from Cal McNair, they put out statements, and there was not one mention of Deshaun Watson in there. There was not one of, hey, we wish Deshaun the best going forward. We hope that he is successful elsewhere. Something that I'm sure that the Houston Rockets would have done when James Harden basically stuffed them in a locker and forced them to trade him to the only team that he wanted to be traded to, where the Rockets didn't even get as good of a haul as they possibly could have. And they still genuflected at James Harden's feet on his way out, even though he didn't do bleep there. And that people compare him to Hakeem Olajuwon's a joke. In this situation, the Texans didn't even mention him. It's just, it's over. They have just moved on. And I think they deserve credit for that, because a lot of these teams are like, yeah. No,
a tribute video and right. All that.
And again, like, this is a different situation, too.
Totally.
Because of the 22 civil allegations, lawsuits that are still in play, blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is they have handled this very well from a PR perspective, from a we're moving on perspective, and good for them. You got to give them credit when they do actually have those brief moments where they don't look like complete morons.
I was going to say, I think the Texans front office has handled this well, as yeah. well as they possibly can. And I do give credit to the current regime.
It's an impossible situation to come into.
Very willing to be critical, as you know, but excuse me, they did this right. All right, so I was at that press conference.
Yes.
Nick Caserio said he did shoot Deshaun Watson a text and wish him well. Quote, he'll do great things for the city of Cleveland. Kind of ironic. He's going to the place where I grew up. He's a great player. So Nick Caserio was very civil, very cordial. But now the question becomes, is Davis Mills QB1? Are they going to look for a veteran? Are they going to draft? I don't think they'd draft, but you never know with this team. Nick Caserio was asked about if they would consider drafting a quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
I certainly wouldn't jump to any conclusions, I would say, specific to Davis. Davis has had opportunities last year, did a nice job of those opportunities, but we're kind of starting from scratch here a little bit. I would say when you get into the draft, you really don't want to necessarily eliminate any one particular position, any one particular player. You just want to look at it in totality and just figure out what makes the most sense, you know, for the organization.
I love Nick Caserio because there he is. He's right back where he used to be. Long answers, not saying anything. I like it. I saw Bill Barnwell suggest, Vanessa, that the Texans go after someone like Andy Dalton as, I guess, a backup option. And I'm of the belief, if you're going to find a veteran or someone that's a backup to Davis Mills, that guy has to have some upside or give you something different.
Right.
I've been a very noted anti-Marcus Mariota guy, but Mariota's available. He's one of the fastest quarterbacks I've ever seen in terms of straight line speed.
Wow, so you would be on the Mariota train.
As a backup quarterback and as a gadget player, absolutely. Much better, because Andy Dalton, we've seen Andy Dalton. Good God, it's torture. It's hard to watch.
At this point, it is. Now, I covered him in Cincinnati, and it was a different
story. He was good there, right.
But I will say this about, this is very random, A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron has, not that he needs to come back.
Bring his tattoos back.
He has, like, settled into the backup quarterback life. Like, he and his wife, he was backup for the Falcons.
What a good life it must be.
He and his wife, Catherine Webb, of course, who Britt Musburger is a fan of, has put on her Instagram stories their house that they're building. Unbelievable. Like, I feel like A.J. McCarron is in that point where he's like, cool, I'm a backup. Andy Dalton, if you remember the reports last year after his stint with the Cowboys, was that he still wanted to be a starter.
Yeah.
So I do think the other thing is that you have to bring in a veteran who's like, I know I'm the backup. I do not care that I'm the backup. I will help Davis Mills, and then peace out.
But most veterans, I think, would be like Andy Dalton in that situation, because they're going to be like, who the hell is this guy? Are you serious? You know, so if you're going to bring in somebody, it would be, I mean, shoot, I would love to just bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick just for the hell of it, because I love
him. That would be fun.
But, you know.
Fun press conferences.
Honestly, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know what he is. He's like, he's absolutely crazy on the field. He's going to turn the football over in catastrophic ways a lot. But he's also, I don't know, I just like him. He's scrappy, he's tough, and he's a funny person. And I'm just not really in the Mills Mafia, if you will. I'm sort of on the fence as far as whether or not.
It was a rookie year. We need to see another year.
That's fair.
I think it is way too soon to decide either way.
That's, you know what? That's the exact correct take to have. I guess that my conventional wisdom is saying, like, it feels like there are too many people leaning towards, yeah, Davis Mills, let's go. And I'm like, we've been down this road before, guys. We have been down this road before. We have seen so many shaky at best quarterbacks here to the point where Matt Schaub is the second best quarterback in franchise history.
That's
right,
disturbing.
But Schaub had some good years. Watson obviously had some good years too. But I mean, after that, good God, you know. So let's stop acting like, oh, I see something in Davis Mills. Do you? You know that for the most part, probably not is the answer. That should be your answer for just about any quarterback. Probably not. He's probably not the guy. Maybe you'll be surprised by it, but even a first round pick, it's probably not the guy.
One of the things I asked Nick Caserio, and I knew I would not get a direct answer, but I asked him, I said, look, the final four, we all know the final four, and we heard that the process was that they had to present a package that you all thought was adequate. But how many other teams inquired about Deshaun Watson? We know Indy did. Mm-hmm. We had heard some reports. So I asked him that because I wanted to know his answer and how many teams had kind of initially seen Deshaun Watson as somebody that they would want to bring in. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I would say there was a fair amount of teams. What we try to do is bring the teams that had, I would say, a legitimate interest. And that was kind of based on, I would say, maybe the compensation that was presented. I think there was a certain threshold that I kind of had established in order to make it a legitimate discussion. And if we got to that point, then we can gauge a little bit further. So, you know, I would say I don't want to get into the exact number, but, you know, it was probably a few more than, you know, however many teams that everybody was reporting on here at the end.
So a few more teams than what everyone, well, everyone was reporting on four, and then Indianapolis had inquired, and then we had heard at one point maybe another team. So if I hear a few more, I'm like, okay, maybe like 8 to 10
yeah,
total. So yeah, I mean, look,
some of those teams Watson probably didn't like, and some of those teams probably gave the Texans a terrible offer.
A terrible offer that the Colts was never a thing. So it's, to me, that was interesting because it reinforced what I had always thought, which was, you know, there were people that said Watson has no leverage or that teams won't touch him with a 10-foot pole, and that just was never the case.
No. It was
never true.
I was nervous about it, but I don't know why I was nervous about it. I mean, honestly, should have been cynical and skeptical like I normally am and just assume, like, all these teams would sell their souls to have a quarterback that's not, like, an average player. They would all do it. They don't care at all. The league doesn't care at all, and this is going to be all behind the Cleveland Browns, probably, a couple of years from now, assuming that he plays well in Cleveland. And honestly, I think he's going to play well in Cleveland.
Brian Harder says Case Keenum has made a bag of loot as a backup quarterback. Yes, he has.
How many teams has Case Keenum been on now? Wait a second. Because now he's on the Buffalo Bills. He got traded to the Buffalo Bills over the weekend. I'm going to guess, and I don't know off the top of my head.
Look it up real quick, yeah.
I'm going to guess. What are you going to guess? We're not.
Oh, God. Seven?
I'm going to guess eight. Let's see. Okay. Texans, Rams. Two stints with the Texans and Rams. Vikings, Broncos, Washington, Browns, Bills. So 1, 2, 3, 4. You were right. Seven.
Is it seven?
Wow. That's a lot of travel.
Good for him.
Good for him, though, sticking around.
That's the Sage Rosenfels. That's the journeyman quarterback.
I mean, you're talking about a real backup quarterback. You know, and you mentioned A.J. McCarron, but like Keenum, to his credit, And when we first saw him on the scene, I remember everyone like had a giant pants tan over that game that he had against the Indianapolis Colts, where he comes in the first half and he throws three touchdown passes to Andre Johnson. And then you should have, Vanessa, been here for just the insufferable Cougs out there, like you can behind the glass. You know, you're holding up your shots. You're like, Case Keenum's the guy. You can't bench him. What are you doing, Garrett Kubiak? And then, you know, He came back again, and he has just survived, and I'm really happy for him because he seems like a really nice guy, and considering, you know, the injuries he had at UH and a lot of people not believing in him, I mean, he's had a hell of a career.
He has survived and advanced.
And honestly, he might win a Super Bowl with Buffalo, given that, I mean, Buffalo is one of the best teams going into this season. So, you know, that would be great to see Case Keenum as a backup quarterback at a Super Bowl ring.
Speaking of survive and advance, congrats to the Cougs basketball team.
Let's go.
As they have moved on to the Sweet 16 and they head to the city of brotherly love.
Did you see Kelvin Sampson in the locker room?
No shirt.
What a legend. I love it.
Love it.
They did get away with, an absolute, like, you know, when the game was getting close where UH was up. I want to say they were up at that point either 3 or 2. And the dude on Illinois, he dunked. And they called him for a technical foul. It was an absolute garbage technical foul. And like they had momentum at that point in time. And the Cougs outscored him 22-11 the rest of the way.
This is the one that Reggie Miller was going off about.
Yeah.
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 It was absolutely.
That was awful.
I think that if you injected Kelvin Sampson with truth serum, he would say. I would be interested if anybody asked him about that, because that was such BS. And Reggie
Terrible.
Miller did a great job of breaking down physically why you have to swing or else you can get hurt.
That wasn't bad at all. I saw some posts, some blog posts suggesting that if you're a coach, you should be able to fight the referee over something like this. So, yeah, anyway.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, other NFL news, plus who's the best quarterback in the AFC? We want to know what you have to say. Twitch us, tweet us, call us, text us. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're going around the NFL. I asked you guys who the best quarterback in the AFC is, because it is stacked, and this is obviously a big debate they've had on every, what do you call them?
Speak for your pizza. Get down.
Could it be Patrick Mahomes? Some say Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. We have Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. So, interested in you guys' takes. Let's see. 7593 says Mahomes is the best quarterback in the AFC. Looks like last year the distractions from his idiot brother and... I'm not going to read that.
What is Jesus, dude? Calm down. Look, his brother does suck. Like, I've said this before. I think we should send him to Ukraine to be, like, a TikTok activist, you know? Like, let's see if he can rebuild his brand there.
In the war.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, send Juju with him, Cam. I appreciate that with his stupid Corvette dance. I hate that stupid song, and it's awful. But, yeah, we can send him over there. He could sing songs about no-fly zones and stuff and nuclear war. But, as far as the top quarterbacks, so I feel weird saying this because I should say Mahomes, but Josh Allen still feels like he is ascending up. And there's a part of Allen's game, his ability to run, his ability to take on contact, that Mahomes has to an extent, but except for the taking on contact part. So I think it's like by the narrowest of margins, but I think Allen does have a leg up. So Mahomes has had some bad habits that we have seen over the last year. It's not like they're catastrophically bad habits.
Right.
But, you know, against Kansas City, what the hell happened in the second half of that game? And there were a couple of games this past year, too, where it felt like Mahomes had been solved, where with Allen, I don't really know what the answer is other than hope that there's some crazy weather that is, you know, going to make Josh Allen. Remember that Patriots game on Monday Night Football where the weather was just crazy?
Like, historically bad.
Right, and he still played out of his mind in that game. But then afterwards, I mean, that's supposedly one of the best defenses in the NFL, and he had, like, a actually perfect game against them. I think Allen right now is playing better quarterback than anybody else in the AFC.
And I will say this, Justin Herbert is obviously so young. Joe Burrow, we really saw that potential come through, obviously, going to a Super Bowl. And then Lamar Jackson has just had so many. They were the team that got hit with COVID the worst. Not only the guys that had COVID, but the amount of games they had to reschedule and all of that. I do think that seeing Lamar Jackson with a healthy team, we would see more of what he can do
possibly
as a quarterback. Now, what I would not say he's the best. I just think that that's the reason that this list is so fascinating and that the debate is legitimately fun, is because, like, this is the list that NFL Network puts out. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. And this was Maurice Jones-Drew's list. So he had Mahomes as one and Allen as two.
Okay. One of my things with Lamar Jackson is that I feel like he is held back by his offensive coordinator. I don't think that Greg Roman is that sharp. I think you saw with Colin Kaepernick that eventually there was a solution to how to stop Colin Kaepernick, people kind of forget about. And we'll see with Lamar Jackson going forward. We actually do have somebody who wants to weigh in on the old phone line. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN.
You're so smart, you remember numbers.
I do, that's all I know. We got Derek wanting to weigh in on this. Derek, what's up?
Yes, I agree. I think Mahomes is not slight. You said that he has some bad habits. I'm a Cowboy fan, by the way, so we're talking AFC.
Got
to
flex on that, huh, Derek?
I just want to let you know I'm neutral. Thank you. So I'm neutral at this. So I'm looking at this from a different perspective. I do think you talked about Mahomes having some bad habits. Josh Allen, a bad habit of continuing to run into defensive linemen eventually will wear and tear. I'm not being Roethlisberger. So I like Josh Allen, but no quarterback can continue to take that pounding. Like I don't care how big a frame you are, you're the best investment on the team. And do that once or twice a game and with concussions, you're going to shorten your career. So that's a great point. Bad habit.
You saw it with RG3, Derek.
That's a super bad habit to have.
Thanks for the call, Derek. Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm sorry that you're a Cowboys fan.
I'll say this, though, to his point. Like, he brings up Ben Roethlisberger. So Roethlisberger, let's be honest, Bodwise, giant soup sandwich, right? I mean, it's a soup sandwich. It's just schlep. It's just pure schlep. Oh, wow. Vanessa's like, yeah, that's the ideal. What is wrong with you? Gross. Ew.
No, I like guys that look like they eat chicken wings every now and then.
He looks like he eats.
Yeah, he's a little big. He's a little big.
He looks like he's eating like entire bags of Tyson frozen chicken tenders. Like they're just dumping them into him. Josh Allen's built. Like I think he's actually built like a like Cam Newton. Now, to Derek's point, what's happened to Cam Newton of late? And that definitely could happen to Josh Allen eventually. But I think right now, Allen's playing at an incredible level. And where Patrick Mahomes' bad habits are, feels like he sometimes gets addicted to trying to make the big play happen. Allen has amazingly gone from being just an absolute hot mess at quarterback. I thought he sucked his rookie year. Remember that game in the playoffs against the Texans?
Yeah.
Where he's throwing a bomb to a fullback and he's running downfield. It's a close game. He's like, I'm just going to lateral. YOLO.
He was so... Wasn't that rookie... Wait, no, that wasn't his rookie year.
I think that was his second year.
Second year.
Right. I think that was his second season. I think that was the 2019 to 2020 season. And I was like, what are you doing, you crazy person? But 2020 and this year, he's really just taken off. And Brian Daboll deserves a lot of credit. And we'll see if Allen's able to keep this up without Brian Daboll now.
Meanwhile, speaking of the AFC, the Bengals absolutely loaded up to protect Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Give Zach Taylor, Mike Brown, all of the Bengals folks credit where it's due. They added Lyle Collins, Ted Karras, who I went to middle school with. Shout out to Terre Haute, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
And Alex Kappa to protect Joe Burrow. Apparently, when they were trying to entice these free agents, Joe Burrow and his girlfriend had these guys and their wives/girlfriends over to his house, talked about, you know, kind of sold Cincinnati, and it was a done deal. So, look, these guys, Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins, Ted Karras, their resumes speak for themselves. I obviously personally know Teddy. Like I said, this is a match made in heaven.
I like how you called him Teddy.
That's what we called him.
Really?
When we had Ed Ogeron on our show the day after the Super Bowl, what is the thing that he said needed to happen? They needed to protect Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And that was his biggest concern with his former quarterback. The Bengals are doing that.
I mean, the Chiefs did it last offseason. You got to learn from what the best teams in the league are doing. I thought what Kansas City did was a tad crazy because, I mean, they traded for Orlando Brown. They signed Joe Tooney. I mean, they really went aggressive. They reset the entire offensive line in one offseason. But it was better. The problem for the Chiefs is that they're in this weird spot where I don't think they're very good at running the football, and you know, there are other things that they're going to now have to solve on that front. But with the Bengals, it was just Joe Burrow gets sacked 10 times a game. Part of that is on Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just give him something better because clearly he's not working with a lot, and clearly the Bengals don't do a very good job of coaching up their young talent at that position.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Texans turn the page. Of course, we're going to get into all things Texans, Deshaun Watson, and Correa's departure as well. That's next. Hang with us.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.